Welcome to David Maister's Business Masterclass, a series of advanced business seminars exploring principles and practices for success in professional businesses.
Hello, I'm David Maister. This is It's About Time, the sixth episode in my podcast series on career development. We'll explore ways of getting organized to invest in building your career. There exists, even amongst the best professionals and professional organizations, a perverse culture that only billable or chargeable time, reimbursed time spent serving clients, really counts. Anything non-billable or not directly reimbursed by the client is either viewed as worthless or not as valuable as real work. If you don't work in one of these environments, the equivalent terminology might be production time counts, and anything that's not actually production is less valued. While most firms have incredibly tight monitoring and control systems for billable time, few have effective procedures to manage their non-billable time. That this is a mistake should be obvious. What you do with your reimbursed time determines your current income, but what you do with your non-reimbursed time determines your future. Invested properly, your non-reimbursed time could help you build client relationships, learn new things, build new tools, or perform any of a host of other asset-building activities that determine your future success. To neglect your non-reimbursed time is to neglect tomorrow. Although it is unmanaged, most people do spend vast quantities of non-reimbursed time during the work year. I want to stress that nothing I'm going to say in this podcast is about working more hours. It's about getting organized on the hours you do already spend. Consider, for example, a typical senior-level accountant. In most countries, a typical audit or tax partner might perform, as a very rough estimate, about 1,200 billable hours per year. Yet that same partner-level person, when asked, will probably admit to working about, 55 hours per week sometimes for approximately 48 weeks per year. Obviously, the work intensity varies by discipline and by country, but let's play with those numbers. This works out to a total of 2,640 hours per year spent at work, of which 1,200 is billable and an amazing 1,440 is non-billable. In other words, a majority of the typical accounting partner's work hours are non-reimbursed, often unaccounted for, and almost certainly unmanaged. And of course, the example isn't restricted just to accountants. The same would be true for the typical consultant, actuary, PR counselor, and almost every other professional. When viewed at the group level, the numbers can get quite staggering. A 10-person group could easily represent a total of anywhere between 8,000 or 12,000 non-reimbursed hours being consumed every year. Consumed, or being poured down the sink. It is amazing to think that very few individuals or firms have processes and procedures in place to ensure that they are realizing a decent return on this huge investment. I often ask people, what percentage of your non-reimbursed time do you think is spent constructively? The responses usually range from 10 to 35%, most of it dedicated to somewhat unstructured marketing activities. People usually report to me that this time that they spend at work, which isn't production time, just goes somewhere. They're working hard during this time. They just can't tell you at what. I then ask a follow-up question. How much of your non-reimbursed time is spent on activities that were planned in advance and scheduled with a concrete purpose in mind? Again, the answers are usually well below 50% and often close to zero. Since the time is unplanned, it's not surprising that so little of it is spent constructively. When you don't plan your time, the urgent always drives out the important. This is not just an institutional problem, but a personal, human one. The typical person is working incredibly hard, often at significant sacrifice to their personal and home life. However, nearly one half of all that effort is being spent without concrete results. There's a very real chance to improve the lot of the typical person if he or she can learn to take charge of this vast quantity of unstructured, unproductive, unplanned, non-reimbursed time and learn to put it to productive use. If work life is to be more fulfilling, successful, and less burdensome tomorrow, then we must invest our non-reimbursed time wisely today. We need to start thinking about three categories of our time. Income time, which is serving clients and customers, earning today's income. Investment time, which is time we spend creating our future. And then individual time, which is everything else. The essence of this scheme is to start treating your investment time as seriously as your income time. If your investment time is spent wisely on carefully chosen activities, you will have the ability to significantly affect your future success and your lifestyle. Individuals and their organizations must develop the habit of treating investment commitments as equally sacred as your production targets. In reviewing your performance in a given period, the test must not be only, did I produce what I was required to do? But equally seriously, you must ask, did I finish the investment projects that I said I would do? Individuals and their organizations must learn that both are critical and that one without the other is insufficient. Every quarter of our lives, we've got to earn our income, but every quarter of our lives, we've got to be building our future. Alas, the rule in most organizations today is that you're not only allowed, but you're positively required to blow off any proposed investment activity if it means additional production today. The concept of investment in the future is not taken seriously. Notice that we're not talking about adding to the total number of hours worked. Rather, what we need is the discipline of turning unstructured, non-reimbursed time already being spent into time filled with carefully selected action that produce concrete investment results. Done well, there should not be, in the aggregate, any trade-off between reaching both the current income and building a new career. Now, what proportion of one's non-billable time should be treated as investment time and scheduled in advance? Clearly not all of it. Time is needed for administrivia, downtime between work tasks, reading the mail, calling the children, collecting one's thoughts, and a myriad of other small activities that consume our daily lives. Furthermore, one cannot schedule all of one's non-reimbursed time and ignore unforeseen events, opportunities, emergencies, unexpected client requests that may place a claim on one's non-billable time. So the sensible path might be to start with a fraction, say one half, of your available non-reimbursed time, and then designate that time to be spent on activities that will promote your success in the future. Over time, the schedule percentage may increase. For the typical person discussed above, with about 1,400 non-reimbursed hours per year, this means approximately 700 hours for planned investment projects and 700 hours left for individual time to deal with the usual non-billable nonsense. This should be more than adequate. What are the best uses of your non-reimbursed time? I'm going to read out a list of pretty obvious possibilities. You may wish to evaluate yourself on how well you're currently performing these critical career processes and prioritize those that you think are most critical to your future success. 1. Developing innovative approaches to doing what you do. 2. Finding new ways to lower the cost of what you do. 3. Finding ways to get better at client service. 4. Get better at relationship building. Invest in turning individual client assignments into long-term relations. 5. Continually learning new things about the market you serve and tracking emerging client needs. 6. Making the marketplace aware of your capabilities. 7. Perhaps you develop your skills in selling. You turn inquiries into assignments. And 8, you invest some of your time in developing new services. Take, for example, finding new ways to lower the cost of performing professional tasks. This always receives poor marks when I ask people to rate themselves. And this is pretty astounding, given that in virtually every career, fee pressure has been a fact of life for a decade or more. Clearly, any individual or a group that could redesign their work processes to lower the cost of doing something would have a competitive advantage. As an individual or as an organization, you could pass the savings on to your clients, take them as extra profits, reinvest them, or have a host of other options. Yet most people and firms are not working at ways to lower the cost or the speed with which they do things. Why not? Because it takes a well-thought-out program of investing non-reimbursed time to perform this activity. And most individuals and firms aren't organized to do such projects. Most people just want to get the job done that their boss gives them. Most people are not looking for ways to improve the efficiency at which they do their work. To make a similar point, consider items 3 and 4, turning individual client assignments into long-term relationships and earning referrals from client work, getting people to tell other people about you. Both of these involve factual questions, which is, what percentage of the time when you do work does it turn into a deep relationship? What percentage of your clients actually refer you to others and give you the chance to work on exciting, learning, growing things? Clearly, anybody that scored high marks on these processes would have a great future. But equally clear is the fact that it will take some investment of your time in client service and relationship building to make these things happen. The point is not that these are new ideas. They're not. They're as old as the hills. The question is, do you have a structured, well-thought-out program for some portion of your non-billable time to work on improving these areas? Or do you, like most people, assume and hope that these things will happen as a result of the normal course of affairs? They won't. Nobody will make your career for you. You have to work at it. Next on the list I just gave were other marketing and business development processes which apply to most of us. Gathering market intelligence, building awareness of your capabilities. These are usually not neglected topics. But individuals and organizations vary in how well structured and managed these efforts are. Much non-reimbursed time is thrown at these issues, little of it in a well-planned way. I would not recommend that any individual or team should plan to work simultaneously on every investment opportunity you've got. Of course, the whole point here is that in any one planning period, you pick out a small number of key topics to invest your time that will advance your career a little bit. And you design action plans that you think will move you forward a little bit in the targeted areas. Are areas not tackled this quarter could be addressed later in the year. The trick is to get started and do something, and then 3 months from now, do something else. Let me give a personal example of this. Nothing I've mentioned is intellectually complex or hard to do. There is much to be done, and there is, for most of us, enough time to do it. However, to make it happen, a revolution in our thinking is required. We must begin to really care about the future and accept new disciplines in our work lives. Rightly or wrongly, I've decided that regularly writing articles is important to my reputation and to my future. Even though I earn no income from them, they're not billable, and they don't produce any immediate sales. Alas, it's a rare person who picks up one of my articles and says, "We've got to hire this guy now." When budgeting my time, I set aside 2 specific days in my calendar for write article. If a client or a prospect calls and wants to hire me at my full daily rate for one of those designated days, I will do everything I can to get my client to agree to an alternate date, since that specific day is booked. Saying, "I'm sorry, that day is booked," is not that unusual. We're all forced to say it when we have another client commitment, another paid day. But how many of us are prepared to say it when the conflicting engagement is not another client, but is our own investment in our future? Naturally, I'll be more accommodating and flexible to an existing client with a truly pressing need. However, a new prospect inquiry needs to be really strategically important for me to sacrifice my time. Here's the key point. If I do have to give up that designated investment day to serve a client, It does not relieve me of my obligation to get that investment task done. I set and keep to absolute due dates for my scheduled investment activities. Even if it means staying up late or pulling an all-nighter, I get those articles written. They are my future. Each quarter, I sit down with my wife, Kathy, who's my coach. We figure out how much time I have available, and we discuss what's the best use of my non-billable time in the next 3 months. We don't look further ahead than that. But we think about, is it time to write another article, or am I doing it too much? Are there some existing clients who I should have visited, but in fact I've kind of let it slip? Is it time for me to go and try and generate some new clients? The point is, we have that discussion every 3 months, and Kathy makes me write it down as to what I plan to do with my investment time. And every 3 months, we sit down and review, did we, in fact, get done the investments in my career that I said I was going to do? Now, we're not idiots. We know that we need also to reach the income statement. There are two sacred numbers in the business. Did you earn your income, and did you invest in the future? No amount of extra income will buy me forgiveness if I fail to meet my investment targets, just as writing an extra article does not allow me to miss an income goal. Both are sacred. Since Kathy is a good coach, I make sure that I do everything I can to meet both of my goals. Again, the point must be stressed. There is no aggregate trade-off between earning your income and making investments in your future. There is enough time for both. But you mustn't get stampeded. Unfortunately, when times get tough, there's a great temptation to leave out all the investments. It's what I call the General Motors rule. If you cancel maintenance and R&D and marketing and training, then yes, you can bring more current income to the bottom line, but you will have given a hostage to fortune in your future. If it ever does come to a choice between my reputation and my income, I hope I'm smart enough to choose to protect my reputation. If the choice is between my current income and my future earning power, I hope I have the good sense to go with future earning power. To act otherwise would be self-destructive and bad business practice. This concludes It's About Time, the sixth episode in my podcast series on careers. It was based on a chapter in my book, True Professionalism. In forthcoming episodes in this series, we'll talk about developing interpersonal skills and learning to be a manager.
Thank you for listening to David Maister's Business Masterclass. You can visit us on the web at davidmaister.com. And don't miss out on our first annual audience survey. There's still time to share your ideas and suggestions on how we can improve this podcast for you at davidmaister.com/survey. Thank you for your support.